verses 16 through 24. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Father, and thank you for your precious word. Thank you for those that have gone before us and paid such a great price to share your good news. Thank you for the many, many, many that you've brought through them. Father, we pray that our lives might be well invested, that you'd stir our hearts and give us a passion for, no matter what the circumstances, Lord, to reach out that others might hear and receive the good news and have life everlasting. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the power to do that, and we pray for Pastor now as he shares with us. Open your word through him, prepare our hearts, and we'd receive that which you have, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Tom. I love the song that we sang right before. In his time, we're going to see the ugly side this morning. But in his time, Lord willing, next week we will see something beautiful come from this ugliness that we're going to look at this morning. In Acts chapter 16, we continue our series through this book. Our passage this morning, we have Paul and Silas, along with several other disciples. By the direction of the Spirit, they've made their way to the city of Philippi. This is Paul's second missionary journey, but it's the first one that has brought him now into Europe and really into the heart of the Roman Empire. In the Gospel of John, Jesus calls Satan the ruler of this world because the world is captive to sin. Well, Paul's mission and his reasoning for going on these missions was to free people from the captivity of sin through the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we've noted a few weeks ago, Satan doesn't like that. He doesn't like it when God's servants start encroaching on his territory and release people from his hold. And because Satan is no match for God, he will in turn attack God's servants instead. Satan will do whatever he needs to do to try to slow down, hinder, or even stop God's servant from advancing God's work. God's work and God's word, really. Satan is deadly. He is deadly. We're going to see some ugly things take place here this morning. But I recently read an article that talked about the top 10 most deadly creatures on Earth. And these are creatures that cause more human fatalities than any other creature on the planet. And as you might expect, among them were the African lion, the great white shark, the Asian cobra, the crocodile, polar bear, and elephants. Some that you might not expect to see on that list are the box jellyfish and the poison dart frog. And I don't know if the frog actually does the killing or if it's people taking the poison and using darts to kill people. Either way, these creatures cause literally thousands of human deaths every single year. Yet none of these are the most deadly. According to this article, the most deadly creature on the face of the planet kills nearly 2 million people every single year. 2 million people. We would not look at this creature and think of it as a deadly, vicious killer either. For the most part, we don't even give a mosquito a second look. That's right, a mosquito. A mosquito that seemingly harmless, you know, they make you itch a little bit, subtle. They are responsible for killing more people than any other creature on Earth. And part of the reason is the mosquito itself isn't what does the killing. It is the parasites and the disease that it implants into our body that hurts our immune system and could even kill a person. Well, I want you to know this morning that Satan attacks in a similar way. Okay, Satan is also, he's very subtle. He's very cunning. He uses others to carry out his dirty work. He himself, he masquerades as an angel of light. He dresses himself in sheep's clothing. He even quotes scripture and does good things. He can appear harmless. But it's because of these things that he is so deadly. He is a bloodthirsty, people-using, disease-carrying killer. One huge difference between Satan and a mosquito is a mosquito doesn't have an agenda, but Satan does. He has an agenda. A mosquito will not harm intentionally. Satan, on the other hand, again, will do whatever he needs to do to stop God's word from advancing. And since that attack falls upon us, I think it would be wise for us to know some of his tactics. And I don't think anything that we talk about here this morning is going to be really new information to you, but I think it will help us observe and watch out for and be aware of what he is doing in the world, in our country, in our state, maybe even in our own home. Okay? Satan will do what he needs to do to choke out the spreading of God's word. And our subject this morning is how Satan strikes. And we're going to be looking at chapter 16 of Acts, verses 16 through 24. And having in previous weeks read about Paul and company leading Lydia and company to the Lord, we find this in verse 16. It says, "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." Now, our first thing to be aware of this morning is that Satan will dispatch his workers. Satan will dispatch his workers. Just like the parasites and disease that the mosquito dispatches into our body that hurts us, Satan will dispatch people into the body of Christ to hurt it, okay? And here's when we can expect an attack. This is when we can expect Satan to dispatch one of his workers. It will be when God's word is advancing, if souls are believing, or if God's children are growing. If any one of those things are present in a local church body, expect an attack. Expect an attack. And oftentimes, it will be an attack from right inside the church itself. Well, what do we learn from our passage, beginning in verse 16 there? Well, the first thing we see is the slave girl met them at their place of prayer. She was sent to a place of prayer. As the mission team and all these new believers were on their way to this place of prayer by the river, the slave woman joined them. Now, the way verse 16 is worded, it seems that her reputation preceded her. They knew about her. They knew what she was about already. But they didn't immediately say or do anything concerning her. Perhaps they were hoping that upon her hearing the word of God, she would believe. And the demon that was inside of her would be forced to leave by the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 4:4, we read this. It says, "You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Salvation is really the only way to permanently eradicate an evil spirit. And perhaps that is what this church was hoping for. They knew who she was. They knew what she was about. But they didn't do anything immediately. But she was sent to this place of prayer. Also, she was possessed by a python. And here's why I say that. The word that is used in verse 16, that word for divination, your translation might read fortune telling, but it's actually derived from a Greek word, pithion, which is our word, python. And in Greek mythology, Pythion was actually a snake-like deity that the mythological god Apollo killed. But as a result of all of this terminology floating around, the term grew into a word used for a fortune-telling demon. And apparently a demon like this had control over this girl. And just as a side note here, just so that we're aware again, according to the Bible, only God is all-knowing. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows the future. And Satan, nor anyone else for that matter, has that attribute. Satan and his cohorts are really not prophetic. They are not prophetic, but they are excellent observers, excellent deceivers, and have an incredible network of information. And as a result, so she was sent to this place of prayer, she was possessed by this python. But thirdly, she was profitable as a prophetess. Forgive all the P's, it just came too easy this morning, okay? But anyway, there is no doubt that the spirit world exists, okay? There is no doubt that demons exist. There is no doubt that a person possessed by a demon will have access to information that is way beyond their own resources, okay? And while I believe that most false prophets today are deceptive within their own right, okay? Two things real quick about this girl. Knowing what we know about the spirit world and what the Bible communicates to us, we learned here that not only was she a slave to two human masters, but she was first a slave to a demonic master. And we are told that she was bringing her masters much profit. Now, I believe that one great way to detect a false prophet today, and this is not across the board, but I think one way to detect a false prophet is if they're doing it for money. Okay, I think that's one way to detect them. And while I also believe that most so-called fortune tellers today are complete frauds who simply utilize their own power of observation and deceit. I also believe that there are many who have truly tapped into a demonic source. And while they think they are in control, they are really doing the bidding of a demon inside. And I thought, you know, really, what a fitting title for this demon. A python, of course, is a snake that strangles its prey. It slowly kills its prey by constricting it. It wraps itself around the subject and chokes it little by little until it can't breathe anymore and even eventually dies. Well, again, unfortunately, the slave girl was not only enslaved by some earthly masters, but she was enslaved by a demonic master who dispatched her to infiltrate this newly established growing body of believers. Satan will dispatch his workers. The second tactic that we need to be aware of is Satan will discredit the truth. He will discredit the truth. Listen to verses 17 and 18. It says, "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." Now, at first glance, we might think, you know, there is not a single thing wrong with what she was proclaiming. They were, in fact, servants of the Most High God. They were, in fact, proclaiming the way of salvation. She spoke the truth. She spoke the truth. So why? Why did it annoy Paul? Maybe you've heard of the rash of fake Apple computer stores in China. Actually, it's a worldwide phenomenon, but China in particular has been hit by this. Right on the outside of the store, they will have a huge Apple computer logo. Inside, there are hundreds of electronic products with the Apple logo right on them. The stores are doing a booming business. The brand name of Apple is skyrocketing. It has become one of the most sought-after brand names in China. You might think that Apple would love all of this free advertising. Their name is running rampant through Asia. They didn't even have to invest a dime, and their name is being spread like crazy. Well, the problem, of course, is, and I know you realize this already, these electronics are not Apple on the inside. They might say Apple on the outside, but they're not Apple on the inside. In fact, who knows what they are on the inside? Who knows what these stores are really selling? And while they are advertising the true Apple, that's not what's on the inside. That is not what's on the inside, and Apple Corporation is very wisely eradicating these stores left and right. Well, that is what annoyed Paul. What she was saying on the outside is not what was on the inside. In fact, Paul thought like Jesus. Jesus cast out demons. In Luke 4:41, speaking of Jesus, says, and demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak." You might be proclaiming me on the outside, but that is not what you're about on the inside. And that is what annoyed Paul about this woman. Her proclamation actually discredited the truth. Just the simple fact that it was her saying it brought blemish to the name of Jesus Christ. But also, we need to know that that's how Satan operates. That's how he operates. He will use bits of the truth to lure people in. And then, who knows what he's going to sell them? Who knows what he's going to teach? Who knows what lie is going to be added to that little bit of truth? One commentator that I read on this portion of Scripture, he said, some of the most effective and diabolical work has been done in the name of Jesus. Wow. These words coming from her mouth actually discredited the truth. Her persistence also discredited the truth. Our passage says that she did this for many days. You know, it is one thing for an unsaved person to attend a local church and listen to the Word of God. That is a wonderful thing. I'd love more of that. It's one thing for an unsaved person to attend a local church and even ask questions or throw out some comments from time to time. It shows their thinking. That's a wonderful thing. But it is quite another for an unsaved person to persistently proclaim and teach directed toward a local body and do this time and time again, day after day, because the bottom line is they are not qualified to teach. They don't even have the Spirit's guidance within them. So that is what annoyed Paul, and he put a stop to it. Verse 18 again says this, and this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Her purification authenticated the truth. Paul actually killed about three birds with one stone here. Now, only apostles were given the authority to cast out demons, and Paul exercised his apostolic authority here through the power of Jesus' name. He not only freed this woman from her spiritual bondage, but he also shut her up and proved beyond a doubt that what Paul was teaching was authentic. It was indeed from God. Her purification authenticated the truth. One of the most utilized tactics of Satan is to take, again, a seed of truth and mix it with a lie. He will say, in fact, we talked about this in youth group a couple weeks ago. I brought this up, and I've heard this so many times. Satan will say, you know, Jesus was a great teacher. He impacted the whole world for the better. He taught the greatest moral lessons that have ever been taught, and you would do well to heed those lessons. But he was not God. He was not God. And I've heard that so often, and I always chuckle, and I think, well, then he wasn't a good teacher either because he taught that he was God. Right? Satan will say he was a great teacher. Oh, but he wasn't God. He will say, you know, Jesus really did live and breathe, but he didn't die on the cross, and he certainly wasn't raised again. He will say, Jesus, he would even say this, Jesus did die for your sins. His message is the way of salvation. But it's just not quite enough. There's a little bit more that you have to do. Satan will discredit the truth. Thirdly, this morning, Satan will defile the system. And I'm talking about a governing system here. He will use it to his advantage. Listen to what happens in verses 19 through 21 now. It says, but when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive and observe." Now, is that really why they brought Paul and Silas to the authorities? No, they weren't causing trouble. And yeah, while they were teaching stuff contrary to Roman law, the bottom line is, it was because Paul and Silas took their source of profit. These masters didn't say anything to the authorities for days as this woman followed Paul around, listening to the teaching. It was because Paul took away their moneymaker. Here's some statistics for you. And this falls in line with how Satan defiles a governing system. Statistics say that pornography generates about $8 billion a year. Today, there are roughly 4.2 pornographic websites. By the way, that is almost 12% of the internet. 4.2 billion pornographic websites with about 260 new sites starting each day. It is estimated that about $280 a second is spent on pornography. This is income generated through the degrading, the demeaning, the abusing, and the exploiting of the weak, mostly women. How is that possible? How can that even happen in a country like ours, where we boast equal rights and we strictly condemn, even go to the aid of countries that are weak, we strictly condemn the exploiting of the weak. How does that even happen in a country like this? That people can be exploited like that? Well, here's the answer. Freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. That's right. There is a whole industry today that exists in this country and allows the blatant abuse of the weak because of freedom of speech. What does that have to do with anything? That has nothing to do with speech, yet there it is, through the defilement of the legal system. I have rights. I have rights. Satan will abuse the system. While our passage does not make a direct connection between these men and Satan, know that the connection is there. Know it's there. In fact, Jesus said in John 8:44, he was speaking of some liars, he said, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." He is the source of evil. In Isaiah 32:7, it says, "The schemes of the schemer are evil. He devises wicked plans to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak justice." These masters lied about Paul and Silas. While it was true they were in fact teaching things that were contrary to Roman law, they were not even close to stirring up trouble in the city. In fact, according to what we've read thus far, it seems that all of the evangelism and all of the teaching has taken place at this place of prayer, at the riverside. These masters lied about Paul and Silas. These masters lied to the authorities. Again, while it was true that promoting any other religion other than the Roman-sanctioned Caesar worship was illegal, this law was rarely enforced. And once again, Paul and Silas' teaching was not stirring up trouble. But because these masters were so angry about their loss of income, it was all about money, they abused the system to have Paul and Silas stopped. Satan will often use governments and the abusing of the law to further his agenda and stop those who are furthering God's. He will use freedom of speech to exploit the weak. He will use civil rights to justify sin. He will use public safety to strip people of their freedom. He will call certain crimes hate crimes as if the rest are done in love. He will promote murder for the sake of medical advancement. He will outlaw God's law for the sake of acceptance of sin. Satan will defile the system. Fourthly and lastly this morning, Satan will damage the body. He will even damage our body. Again, he will do whatever he needs to do to stop the advancement of God's word, even if it means bringing a stop to the very vessel of delivery, our body. Listen to verses 22 through 24. It says, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." I saw some graffiti once on a huge block wall. Huge block wall. It was graffiti, and it said, "Don't write on this wall." How ironic. It's ironic that these masters were guilty of the very thing they were accusing Paul and Silas of doing. Upon accusing them of causing trouble in the city, these masters caused trouble in the city. The multitudes came against Paul and Silas. Many were angry with these two. How dare you teach against Caesar and cause such trouble in our fair town? The magistrates had Paul and Silas beaten. Apparently the multitudes and the magistrate were so worked up that they didn't even have a legal trial. They immediately commanded that these two, Paul and Silas, be stripped and striped. Later on, Paul will call on his Roman citizenship to be freed. Why he didn't do that now? Perhaps that the glory of God would be revealed in a short time through a miracle. Maybe it happened so fast they didn't even think about it at the time. Beyond that, we don't know. What we do know is in order for Satan to stop the word of God, he will even injure our body. He will hurt us. Verse 23 says they laid many stripes on them. They were beaten severely. Satan will imprison the body. Paul and Silas were thrown in jail away from the public, and Satan will immobilize the body. They were put in the innermost confines of the jail and even put in stocks so they could not move, and they were closely guarded. Surely now there would be no possible way for the word to advance. And if you've ever read this account through, don't read it now, but if you've ever read it through before, you're probably snickering. Lord willing, we'll look at that in detail next week. But Satan will attempt to stop the word of God even by physically stopping us. What might that look like? Well, there may come a day, not far from now, when it will be illegal to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may be thrown into prison and put in stocks because of who we are. I mean, it's happening elsewhere in the world right now. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Iranian pastor, okay, who they want to execute him. They want to execute him unless he will renounce his faith in Jesus Christ. That could happen here. It could happen here. But because we're talking about Satan and his tactics in physically stopping us, I do want to touch on one more bunny trail here, because there is something that may be taking place in our life right now that is Satan has his hand in it, and he is physically stopping us from being a testimony for Jesus Christ. And that is falling into temptation. Temptation. He sets up his snares to physically stop us from doing what God wants us to do. Whether it be alcohol, drugs, tobacco, food, sex, power, fame, money. These can physically injure us. These can physically imprison us. They can immobilize us. And Satan will even use those things to stop us from advancing God's word. Satan will damage our body. He will do whatever he needs to do to stop the furtherance of the gospel. But here's some good news to close with that will not stop the Spirit. We have someone inside of us. As we have trusted in Christ, we have a power, the Holy Spirit inside us, that is much stronger than he who is in the world. I read this story recently, and I'll close with this. In 1912, 39-year-old Reverend John Harper, a Scottish preacher, he was making a transatlantic trip to preach in Chicago at the famed Moody Church. As fate would have it, the vessel he chose to cross the Atlantic on was the RMS Titanic. And of course, we all know the story of that great disaster, but maybe you haven't heard the story of Reverend John Harper. Harper, like many others, ended up in the ice-cold water that night. As people desperately tried to survive in the chilled waters, Harper made it a point to begin swimming from person to person and asking them if they knew Jesus Christ. Eventually, Harper approached one particular passenger. He was clinging to a piece of wood, and as he did, he pleaded for the man to trust Christ. By this time, the minister, he'd been doing this so long that he was completely exhausted, and he succumbed to the cold conditions and went under to his death. But his last words to this passenger was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Well, a few years later, at a meeting of survivors of the Titanic, the last man who encountered John Harper said, "I was saved twice that night. Once, of course, from the frigid waters, but he said the second, more importantly, because of John Harper's unceasing efforts, he had trusted Christ as his personal Savior that night. He said, "Alone in the night with 2 miles of water under me, I believed and was gloriously saved. I am John Harper's last convert." Did Satan sink the Titanic? I don't know. After hearing this story, probably. Probably to get rid of John Harper, okay? But it didn't work. The Spirit was even more powerful. And while Satan did have his way with the physical body of John Harper, a new believer, maybe several, came out of that night. Satan will utilize his tactics. He will dispatch his workers. He will discredit the truth. He will defile the system. And he will even damage the body. But he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And while he will try to stop us, he will never stop the Spirit of God. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for, Lord, the account of Paul and Silas and the wicked, evil things that are taking place in their life right now, as orchestrated, no doubt, by Satan himself. We just want to give you all the praise and glory for the rest of the story, which we pray that you would allow us to look at next week, if it would be your will. and the glory that will come out of that. And Lord, just thank you for, again, just this account that so carefully reveals not only who our enemy is, but how he works. And Lord, by looking at this, we can be well aware of how he is working even right now around us in our own world, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for the story of John Harper as well. And Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement to us. He probably that night did not know if any of the people that he spoke to trusted in your son. But he knows now. And Lord, through this story, we can see the results of his tenacity and, Lord, the work of the Spirit in him, even in this tragedy. Lord, you are glorified, and wonderful things came out of it. Thank you for all of this in Jesus' name.